Paul writes in the 15th chapter of 1 Corinthians, he says, "Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that He was buried, and that He rose again the third day according to the Scriptures, and that He was seen of Cephas, then of the 12. After that He was seen of above 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain unto this present, but some are fallen asleep. After that He was seen of James, and then of all the apostles. And last of all He was seen of me also, as of one born out of due time. For I am the least of the apostles, that am not meet to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God I am what I am, and His grace which was bestowed upon me was not in vain. But I labored more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me. Therefore, whether it were I or they, so we preach, and so ye believed. Now if Christ be preached that He rose from the dead, how say some among you that there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there be no resurrection of the dead, then is Christ not risen? And if Christ be not risen, then is our preaching vain, and your faith is also vain. Yea, and we are found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that He raised up Christ, whom He raised not up, if so be that the dead rise not. For if the dead rise not, then is not Christ raised. And if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain. Ye are yet in your sins. Then they also which are fallen asleep in Christ are perished. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. But now is Christ risen from the dead, and become the firstfruits of them that slept. For since by man came death, by man also came also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. For every man in his own order, Christ the firstfruits, afterward they that are Christ at His coming." Now I'm going to stop right there. This is one of the most glorious chapters, in my estimation, in the Scripture, taken as a whole, wherein Paul speaks clearly about the resurrection of the dead. And that is the basis upon which, as he clearly sets forth here, that the hopes of the children of God rest. Because if Christ be not raised from the dead, then he said we're of all men most miserable. Because we say that He rose from the dead, and we preach that He rose from the dead. If He's not risen from the dead, then we're telling a lie. And so that's what he says up here in, as he begins this chapter. He says, "Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I have preached unto you." I declare that gospel unto you. I didn't change it to suit the times. I didn't make it more palatable by shaving down the rough edges. The gospel has a lot of rough edges. It'll rub a man raw if he gets to looking at it very close, because there's some things about the gospel that are so contrary to the thinking of natural men that natural men hate it. Paul speaks about the offense of the cross. Now, what is the offense of the cross? A lot of people talk about the cross of Christ, do they not? I mean, you see people wearing crosses, they get them tattooed on them, and that cross, you find crosses everywhere. And so, on the one hand, the cross is not an offensive thing in that respect, because there is a natural consideration, and there's even a religious consideration of the cross that's not offensive to men. At the cross where I first saw the light and the burden of my heart rolled away. Now, most times the writer of the song got it wrong. He said it was there by faith I received my sight. Now, that's an error. I'm not charging you any extra for this. This is songwriting 101 gone astray. But men don't receive their sight by faith. They receive their sight by grace. And grace enables them to see. But men don't gain their sight by faith. But that is the common consideration today, is that a man says, well, I believe and now I can see. No, that's backwards. You see, a man is enabled to see, and therefore he believes. Now, we know that faith is without sight, and blessed are those that believe having not seen, but we're talking about spiritual sight. How can they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how does a man hear without a preacher? And how do they preach except they be sent? And so it is by the hand of God that men are brought to that place of having faith. But Paul declares, he said, I declare unto you the gospel which I preach to you. I'm preaching the same thing that I always preach. In some ways, we're like a broken record. And that doesn't make a whole lot of sense to most people. Kids, especially in our day and time, they don't know what a broken record is or a scratch record. And, of course, those of us that grew up with phonograph records, we know what a broken record is. Or a scratch record. When the needle got to a certain place, instead of going over to the next little track, it'd just stay in the same one, and it would just run and run and run. Of course, nowadays, CDs do that when they get a little spot on them or whatever, and they get hung up and just keep repeating the same thing. But the preaching of the gospel is really, it is a broken record because it doesn't change. There's nothing new about it. It's the same as it always was. And Paul says that this is a message that he preached, he declared unto them, and he said, ye have received it, and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved. Now listen to what he says here. By which you're also saved, if ye keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. Now the gospel never saved anybody. Now the scripture says that the gospel is the power of God unto salvation. And it is by the gospel that life and immortality are brought to light. But the gospel itself is not that which saves men. But it is the gospel which declares who it is that has saved men. And so in that measure and in that way, Paul says here, by which ye are saved, if ye keep it in memory, what I have preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. Now, how can it be that somebody believes in vain? Well, I believe there's two ways. And the first way that he is declaring here and showing to them is that it is that we have believed in vain if the things that we believe are not true. If Christ be not raised, then we have believed in vain, have we not? If Christ didn't go to the cross of Calvary and die and pay our sin debt, then we've believed in vain. The gospel is the record of that which Christ has done. Faith is the gift of God, wherein a man believes that. Now, it's not just that he believes. You couldn't find, I believe in Suwannee County, you could probably not get 100 people that wouldn't say that they believe in God, that they believe in Jesus, that they believe in the gospel. Now that might be, my numbers might not be right, but a great predominance of people would gladly admit that they believe and would consider themselves to be, because of that, believers, would they not? I mean, men say, well, I believe in God. I mean, I believe in Jesus. That's all it takes to be saved, is believe in Jesus, isn't it? Paul said here that ye may have believed in vain. Because if you didn't believe, if the object of your faith is not the object of the gospel, then you have believed in vain, regardless of what you believe. Believing, people say, oh, well, you just got to believe. Well, that's great to believe. But the more important thing is, what do you believe? What is it that you believe? Now, what is it to believe? Now, some people think it's just an exercise of the mind. Oh, I've believed. Okay. The Scripture says the devils believe. And on top of that, they tremble. Some people say, well, I believe, but I'm not afraid. Well, the devils are one up on you. Because the devils believe God and they're afraid. I remember Curtis Collins telling me a story about one time he was in a Sunday school at some church he went to. And the guy was preaching on the fear of God. And whenever he began the study, he said, well, this study's on the fear of God. But he says, I ain't scared of him. What ignorance. And you see, men are not afraid of God in general. Most people are not afraid of God because they don't have any reason to fear Him, because they don't have any knowledge of Him. Now, they believe in who they think is God, and the one who they think is God, who would fear Him? I mean, He loves everybody, and He's just wanting, hoping that somebody will do what He says to do, and He's ready to reward those that do what He says He'll do. He grades on the curve. He'll say it's all right. He doesn't hold things against people. And all you got to do is just make one little inkling of a move, and He'll just fall all over Himself trying to help you out. Why should a man fear if that's how God is? But I challenge you to read the Scriptures and discover how that could possibly be true. Because this God who created the heavens and the earth, the Scripture says He will by no means clear the guilty. And if a man knows himself to be guilty, that ought to cause him some concern. Now, if a man doesn't think he's guilty, then I suppose he'd be all right. But I don't know if anybody doesn't know they're guilty of something. Now, what most people figure is that they're good will outweigh their bad, and therefore everything will be all right. And they say, I believe that God is just and merciful. And that He wouldn't send a man to hell that's sincere. It just doesn't make sense, does it, to the natural man? He says, I believe in a God that's fair. I believe in a God that will do like I think He ought to do. I believe in Him. But you see, such a man has believed in vain. Why? Because he believed in something that's not true. And so it is that when a man would come to a place of believing in Jesus Christ, it's not simply an activity of believing, of thinking that He is God, or thinking that He did die on the cross. That's not it. But you see, what Paul's speaking about here, he said, these things which ye have received, and wherein ye stand. Now you see, this is the vital part of what true faith is that it is that wherein we stand. Now I can remember when my kids were small and we would take them to the swimming pool or whatever, and they were first getting used to the water, and they would want to hold on to the side of the pool, and I would get out in the pool a little ways from the thing and try to get them to turn loose and come to me. Now, they believed in a measure, didn't they, that I would get them. Or did they? Because you see, as long as they were holding on to the side of the pool, that's the thing they were actually trusting in, was it not? They were trusting in their ability to hold on to the side of the pool. But the demonstration of faith came when they turned loose of the wall and cast themselves upon the mercy of the one who they believed would catch them. The largest impediment to faith that a man has is self-trust. The Jews, that's what the Lord said, was the stumbling block of the Jews. He said, they reject the righteousness of Christ and going about to establish their own righteousness. For a man to be said to believe in Christ and not be an in vain believer is a man who has turned loose of the side of the swimming pool and cast himself upon Christ. Sink or swim. Now, if a child put confidence in his parent, and his parent didn't love him and didn't have the ability to keep him from drowning, he'd have been in trouble, would he not? If he'd have cast himself upon that one, and that one that didn't have the power or the willingness to do it. And so it is that a man would believe in vain if Christ doesn't mean what He says. If Christ didn't do what He said He'd do. But if Christ did what He did, does what He says, then faith is that stands upon that. It turns loose of all things else. There's not an inkling of trusting in our own ability. Or saying, well, I'm trusting in Christ, but I know I've always been a good man. I mean, I've not always been a good man. I've not always done that was right. But I always tried to do what was right. See, a lot of people have that mindset. They say, oh yeah, we believe in Christ, but we know we got to keep doing the right thing. Are you trusting Christ? Now, I'm not encouraging you to do the wrong thing, Because the Spirit of God constrains the people of God unto the righteousness of Christ. But I'm telling you this, a man's believed in vain that says, I'm believing Christ, but I'm also trusting in the works of the flesh. Because you see, he's got one hand over here reaching out to Daddy, and he's got the other hand holding on to the edge of the pool. And that's to believe in vain there, brethren. Because until a man lets loose of all else and casts all of his care upon Christ, he's never believed. And he has believed in vain. Because he has believed in something that will not save him. That halfway deal. See, that's what was so tough to the Jews. Because keep in mind, unto them was committed the oracles of God. Since they were young children, it was ingrained in them that they were to keep these ordinances and they were to fulfill all of these things. And the Lord Jesus Christ came preaching the gospel, and Paul came preaching the gospel that said it's Christ and Christ alone. And this was a stumbling block to them. It wasn't that many of them didn't believe in what he did. I mean, you can read the early believers there in Jerusalem. They believed in Christ. They believed he was the Messiah, but they said, oh, but a man still got to be circumcised. Paul said to the Galatians, I believe I've wasted my time preaching to you. Because you said you believe, but now you've turned back to the law and you prove that you don't believe. See, the man who trusts Christ trusts only in Christ. Because that's the basis upon which he stands. Paul said, you've believed in, he said, by which you're also saved if you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you've believed in vain. So how does a man believe in vain? Well, the first way that a man believes in vain is to believe in something that is not true. The second way that a man believes in vain is to believe partially in it. Because partial faith is no faith at all. It might be his faith in the mind. Oh, we're trusting Christ, but just in case, we're going to be religious. See, we want to cover all the bases. We want to belong to two or three different churches just in case what one says is not right. Well, brother, it won't do. You got to cast your care all in one place to believe in it. If you believe in it, that's what you do. See, a double-minded man, the Scripture says, unstable in all his ways. You can't hold on to two things. It's sink or swim. It's Christ and Christ alone. Paul said, I've declared the gospel to you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand. Do you stand in the gospel? Do you stand in the work of Christ? Do you stand in the righteousness of Christ? Having no confidence in the flesh? No reliance upon any religious deed or whatever? If not, you believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first that which I received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, that he was buried and that he rose again, that he was seen of Cephas and of the 12. He said, all of these people saw him after he had risen from the dead, and he said, and I saw him as of one born out of due time. Paul was given in a physical way to see the resurrection of Jesus Christ, or the resurrected Christ. He saw him just like all of the apostles did. And he said, I was his one born out of due time. He said, he had already risen before I was born again and saw him with my own eyes. But he showed himself to me when he met with me in the wilderness. Remember, he said, I went out there and the Lord told me, he says, I didn't confer with flesh and blood. I didn't sit at the feet of the apostles and say, tell me the gospel. Christ taught him the gospel. If Christ be not risen, then our preaching is vain and your faith is also vain. Because, dear brethren, some people want to say, well, it doesn't really matter if Christ rose from the dead or not. That's just kind of one of those little things we believe. Now, this is an unfortunate thing, but we live in an age when that has been, the thinking of men has been compromised in measure, the natural faith of men at least, has been compromised in the thinking of the things of the Scriptures being literally true. And so that men, they wouldn't have any problem. Well, maybe Christ didn't really rise from the dead. Well, dear brethren, I'm here to tell you this. If Jesus Christ of Nazareth that hung on Calvary's cross, if He did not literally and physically come out of the ground, then we don't have a leg to stand on. And everything that we've preached to you is a lie. Because that's what we stand upon. That's what Paul said right here. He said, if Christ be not risen, then our preaching is vain. It's empty. I mean, sink or swim. This is where we stand, he said. We've let go of the side of the pool, and here it is. We believe Christ rose from the dead. And he said, on that basis, we're willing to stand. Because we believe this, that if Christ rose from the dead, then will He not bring forth from the ground all of those who are in Him? And if He be not risen from the grave, then what hope do we have of the resurrection? And if we have no hope of the resurrection, dear brethren, our preaching's in vain and we have nothing. We're of all men most miserable. He goes on to say, what if I wrestled with beasts at Ephesus? What if I put my life in danger? What if men were killed by sword and by tortured and sawn asunder and all these things? What if men believing God and having all these things done to them and then the dead rise not? What a letdown. I mean, what an empty thing. I'm telling you, the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ is not just about some moral fairy tale or some example that He set forth so we'd know how to live. See, that's what a lot of people think about what Christ did. Well, He just showed us how to live. Well, He did indeed give an example that we should follow in His steps. But, dear brethren, if that's all we see about the gospel, then we have believed in vain. Because we believe that Christ Jesus our Lord did indeed rise from the grave. And if He rose from the grave, He ascended into the heavens where the Scripture says He ever lives to make intercession for them that come unto God by Him. Now, if He's not alive at the present time as a man in the eternal heavens, then we have no hope. But He's there in the same body in which He left this earth, and which men saw and touched. In that same body, the angel said to those that looked there, why stand you gazing up here into heaven? This same Jesus, whom ye have seen go in like manner, shall come again to receive you unto Himself. Now, dear brethren, that's the basis upon which our faith stands, unless we have believed in vain. But it is a faith upon which God's people stand. He said, this is part what you do stand on. It's not shaky ground. It's not straddled. See, we're not straddling a chasm here between the works of the flesh and the works of Christ. No, we're standing on Christ, in Christ alone. Anything else, all other ground, is sinking sand. And it doesn't make any difference how much faith somebody says they have in Christ. If they have faith in anything else or hope. If you have some hope that you're going to gain something from God on the basis of your endeavor, you have not trusted Christ. Christ is our salvation. He is our exceeding great reward. He is that one in whom the sons of God presently, wholly, and completely stand. Nothing in my hand I bring, simply to thy cross I cling. Naked come to thee for dress, helpless look to thee for grace. Foul I to the fountain fly, wash me, Savior, or I die. We have no other hope. And that is upon which our faith stands, unless we have believed in vain.